I'm going to talk to you for a little while now. I've been talking, I know, but I'm going to bring a little word to you. Let's just pray before we look at the word together. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you that there are so many things in it, we'll never really grasp them all, Lord. But we do thank you that perhaps week by week you give us one little thing to get to grips with, and it can encourage us in our lives. It can move us forward, Lord, in your service. And we just pray this morning that there may be something for each one in what is said, Lord, particularly with reference to the words that come directly from your book, the Bible. Amen. All right. One of the places I like to go to, and I haven't managed to get there this year, is Scotland. And people tell me it's always raining up there, but I've had some times when it hasn't been. And one particular occasion, one thing that you have to do if you go up to Scotland really is you have to go on a trip on a loch. And don't call it a lake, it's a loch. And they got loads of them listed about everywhere, you know, big ones, little ones. And I went on this trip on a loch called Loch Katrine. And so you get a commentary, you know, these guys, say, driving the boat, whatever you do with the boat anyway, but they give you a commentary, and it's quite interesting. We came to one place, and he said... over there is what they call the Royal Cottage. He said, to add to that, Royal Cottage, he said, if you look, it's got about 19 chimneys, so it's perhaps a little bit more than what you think of as a cottage. And the story is this: in 1859, they'd built an aqueduct to take water from Lake Katrine for the people of Glasgow. A massive engineering feat at that time, in Victorian times. And of course, when you get something really vast and important, you've got to get somebody important to officially open it. I don't know how you open an aqueduct. I suppose perhaps... you get somebody to move a little gate and the water rushes, I don't know. But anyway, Queen Victoria agreed to come and open this vast project. But her only condition was that it was in the middle of nowhere, but then 99% of Scotland's in the middle of nowhere. So anyway... her condition was that there was nowhere for her to stay nearby, that they built this cottage. So they built the cottage. And as I said, it had quite a few rooms, although it was a cottage. And they wanted to have a 21 gun salute, but they had to get borrow cannons from all over the place and bring them to this countryside at the side of the loch, ready for this magnificent thing to take place. And there they are, Queen Victoria in her regalia, ready to open it. Perhaps she had to cut a ribbon, I don't know. And before that, a salute to the Queen. And there's all these cannon, and all of a sudden the cannons start going off. And sadly, all the windows in the royal cottage were shattered. And poor, I don't know where Queen Victoria ended up staying the night, but all the windows were blown out. And I just want to talk to you about three lots of windows in the Bible this morning. And the first one I've called the window of hope. And Most of you will be familiar with the story, so I'm not going to go into these stories in great depth. But our first one is in Genesis. And in Genesis 8, the first 12 verses, it says this, and it's a story, or part of the story of Noah. The ark had been built, the flood had come, and this is when the water started to go down. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock with him in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the earth, and the flood waters began to recede. The underground water stopped flowing, and torrential rains from the sky were stopped. So the flood waters gradually receded. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks became visible. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until all the floodwaters on the earth had dried up. He also released a dove to see if the water had receded and it could find dry ground. But the dove found no place to land because the water still covered the ground. So it returned to the boat. Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. After waiting another 7 days, Noah released the dove again. This time the dove returned in the evening with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Then Noah knew that the floodgates were almost... waters were almost gone. He waited another 7 days, then released the dove. This time it did not come back. Now, if you think about the story of Noah, you see there were lots of people who had the opportunity of helping Noah, being part of that, and yet they all rejected what God had told Noah to do. And they laughed at Noah. There he is building this boat. A boat, yes. But where's the water? And we know how Noah and his family were saved. And I think sometimes in our own lives, what we need, I've called it a window of hope, because we need the reassurance in our faith in our Saviour, and we need that hope. And there's a little commentary in Hebrews 11:7, and it says this: it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. It's interesting, isn't it, that little sentence? He warned him about things that had never happened before. Now, we sometimes get warned about things that have happened lots of times. Perhaps if we tell children not to do this or not to do that because something will happen to them, you know, we know what will happen to them. But here God is saying to Noah and telling him about something that had never happened before, and yet Noah had to trust God. So by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. And we know that faith shows the reality of what is we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. That's also from Hebrews 11. So in our own lives, we may feel at times like we're buffeted about. I'm sure there were lots of times when Noah thought, you know, is the water going down? What's going on? You know, and all these sort of things going on. But in the end, the flood waters receded, and we know how the story progressed. And God wants to be part of our lives. He wants us to bring our petitions and requests to him and look to him for the hope that is in him, the hope of glory. Now, the next window I've called the window of salvation. And this one is found in Joshua chapter 2. And it's a spy story. So quite a good one if you're teaching Sunday school. And they probably like this one. Joshua sends some spies into the land ahead of them that they are sussing out, and he says, go and look over the land, and then he says, especially Jericho. So the spies arrive at Jericho, and they do a bit of spying, but it sounds as though other people have noted that they had entered the city, and they then informed the king of Jericho that these men are infiltrating our city, they're spies. So there must have been some more information came through from other people that these spies had gone to the house of Rahab. And so along, the king sends people along to Rahab's house. In the meantime, Rahab knows what's going on, and she hides them up on the roof and covers them up with flax. And then there's a knock on the door, and they say, we're looking for these two men. Ah, yes, they were here. If you hurry, you might catch them. I'm not quite sure which way they went. That was helpful as well, wasn't it? So they possibly had to send people out in different directions looking for them. They were there all the time. But then, because of her helping the spies, the story progresses, and they make a bargain with Rahab that what will happen is, if she hangs a scarlet cord in the window — her house was right on the city wall — in the window, when the Israelites attack and the walls fall down, that bit of the wall won't fall down, and you and your family will be safe. The only thing is, you must all be in your house together. And this window had more than one function in this story anyway, because one of the functions was that she let the spies down on a rope so that they could escape. So they were able to — she told them to go to the hills for 3 days and wait there, and then return to where they'd come. And so the window was a window of salvation, in that they were saved from being caught by the king's men, and I'm sure something nasty would have happened to them. But also it was a window of salvation for her, because she had helped those men. She'd kept them safe, and God was saying, if you do what I say, then you too will be safe, and you will be saved. And in Hebrews 11, there's a little commentary on Rahab. It's by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And we see that sort of reoccurring theme, don't we, in the story of Noah. We see Noah, what does he do? However strange it might seem, build this boat, here's the instructions. But he obeyed God, and those around him were not willing to obey God. Rahab obeyed as well, and she was saved. But the people in the city refused to obey God and were destroyed. Now, where do we go next? One of my favourite characters in the Bible, in Daniel. Daniel's window was different again. You know, we've had Noah, and the references to the different birds being sent out, the looking for hope that the water had gone down time after time, and eventually, yes, the dove didn't come back and the water had receded. The hope was founded. And we've just heard about Rahab. But now, Daniel. Now, Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon with many other people, but him and three of his friends rose to quite prominent positions in that country. In fact, Daniel was so distinguished himself that he soon climbed up the sort of administrative ladder. He soon was such an important person in the kingdom. He was, it says in Daniel 6 verse 1, it pleased Darius, who was the king, to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So it was a very, very senior position in that king and in that government. And the thing about Daniel was that he lived his faith. He did his job to the extreme. He was honest. And a lot of these people didn't like him, didn't like the position he's reached. They wanted to find some charges against Daniel, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Imagine if you applied for a job and somebody had written a reference for you and they said they commended you because you were trustworthy, you were neither corrupt nor negligent. I don't know how that would go down in this modern day and age, but, you know, he really stood up for honesty and did not compromise whatever. Whatever's going to happen to him, he would not compromise. So they approached the king with a plan and flattered the king and said, "We want you to pass this law that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, that they will be put or thrown into the lion's den." And we've heard that story, I suppose, many times. But, of course, Daniel heard about what was going on. So, but what he didn't do was go and hide away somewhere and have a quiet word with God. He did what he always did. Three times a day, he prayed towards Jerusalem. And the thing about it is he prayed in front of his window and he had his window open. Now, that was definitely saying, "I'm not going to compromise. My God will look after me." And you know how the story moves on. They go to the king. They say, "O king, live forever," or whatever they say to him. And then they mention this decree that can't be changed, that the king has made for the next 30 days. And then they go on to say that Daniel, who is one of the exiles of Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. And we know how Daniel, the king, didn't want to do it, but he had to go along with this law that couldn't be changed. And he had to get Daniel thrown into the den of lions. And so the king didn't sleep that night. The king was in a terrible state because he thought highly of Daniel, so he wouldn't have appointed him to the position he did. And in the morning, he went down to where the lion's den was, and expecting the worst, and called out, and Daniel was alive. The Lord had shut the lion's mouths, and he had been saved. And to me, that window really was the window of witness. So we had the window of hope with Noah. We've had the window of salvation in two ways, with the spies and with Rahab. And we've had this window of witness, because he could easily have compromised in his prayers or whatever, and yet he carried on doing what he always did, which made a big statement to everyone around. And just pray for us, really, that there'd be times when we need that window of hope. Hopefully, we know and it's responded to the window of salvation. We thank the Lord that we can know and love him and follow him. But we also think about what the Lord commands us. There's that that we're able to move on from the hope and the salvation to being witnesses, like Daniel was, for the Lord's work and for his gospel. So, three little verses to finish. Hope we have in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's from Colossians 1:27. Salvation we have in Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And witness we are called to be. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So if perhaps you smile a little bit about Queen Victoria and the broken windows, but try and remember the hope, the salvation, and the witnesses that we can be for the Lord as you think about those windows. Let's just close in prayer. Let the majesty of the Father be the light by which you walk. The compassion of the Son be the love by which you walk. The presence of the Spirit be the power by which you walk. Amen. Thank you.